Welcome to the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Becker's Healthcare in conjunction with Intuitive. Intuitive is a global technology leader in minimally invasive care and a pioneer of robotic-assisted surgery.
This is Molly Gamble, Vice President of Editorial for Becker's Healthcare and Editor-in-Chief of Becker's Hospital Review. Today for the Becker's Healthcare Podcast, I'm thrilled to be joined by Dr. Jaewon Ryu. Dr. Ryu was appointed President and CEO of Geisinger in 2019. He came to the Danville, Pennsylvania-based system as Executive Vice President and Chief Medical Officer in 2016, a role in which he oversaw all aspects of patient care for the 13-hospital system. Before his time with Geisinger, Dr. Ryu, an emergency medicine physician, was President of Integrated Care Delivery for Humana. He was also formerly Chief Medical Officer at University of Illinois Hospital and Health Sciences System in Chicago, and has held top positions at Kaiser Permanente, CMS, and was a White House Fellow at the Department of Veterans Affairs. Dr. Ryu, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Molly.
Of course. So before we get started on our conversation and dive into things, first I wanted to begin by asking how you are and how Geisinger is faring through this pandemic right now.
Well, I think much like everybody else, I think it's obviously an unprecedented time. Tremendously disruptive time. And I think it's not just for the work environment, but for all of us in our personal lives as well, whether it's kids staying home from school or our day-to-day activities looking very different. I think that's introduced a lot of stress and anxiety. And if I think about Geisinger, obviously being a health system, we're front and center of a lot of the preparedness and response efforts. I think despite all of those things, which are fairly bleak and on the depressing side, I actually think both Geisinger and our communities have really risen to the occasion. If I think about our workers, they've risen to the challenge is the best way I could describe it. And there's just been a tremendous spirit of flexibility, adapting pretty quickly to an ever-changing environment. You know, we've reassigned at this point close to 2,000 people into different roles to be able to adapt to the situation. We had a team of our emergency preparedness folks that have been working on this dating back to January. And so I think just the teamwork, the ingenuity, the creativity, and willingness has been remarkable. And then, of course, on the community side, just folks reaching out with offers to help. Generosity and donations, both large and small, from businesses and from individuals. It's been sort of a rallying cry for the community to come together against a common foe, which in this case happens to be a virus. So there's a lot of really positive, uplifting things, despite, you know, an otherwise concerning set of circumstances, obviously.
It sounds like you have a lot to be proud of at Geisinger and too, like you said, in the community. And, you know, I'm curious, given your background as an emergency physician, this has been such an interesting period of time for leadership qualities and traits and tendencies to really come into new light at various organizations and too at the state, federal, any level, really, international level. But I'm curious how you have felt your background as an emergency physician really emerge, come into play and influence your leadership style as president and CEO over the last several weeks. Have you noticed any ways in which it's really come to light more than usual?
You know, I think, I guess I would start by saying that I don't think anything prepares you for something of this nature, because it truly has been unprecedented in every sense of the word, and the depth to which the ripple effects of the virus extend, I think, probably took everybody by some surprise. But if I think about just my background and leadership, I'm not really sure as to whether any of that played a significant role. I think if I think about it a little bit, maybe just the comfort level with uncertainty. You know, as an ER physician, it's a big part of what you do is you don't know what's coming in the door next, and you got to be somewhat prepared for anything. But even more so than trying to be prepared is the ability to and comfort level to just roll with the punches, because things happen quickly and things don't necessarily always play out the way that you would predict. And I do think that the circumstances of COVID have been somewhat similar to that. I think as things have evolved and evolved fairly quickly, I think in many ways things have not been predictable. And even if you rewind the tape to 6 weeks ago versus now, and where the industry is relative to things like masking or equipment or testing or supplies or understanding more about the virus, I think we're in a fundamentally different place now. Still have a long way to go on this journey, but it's just a good illustration of how quickly things have evolved. And I do think there's probably some similarity you can draw to an ER environment. But at the end of the day, you know, I've just tried to sort of be the same person that I think I've tried to be my entire career, you know, and I think it's trying to understand people and what folks are going through and what the community's needs are. And I think at the Geisinger level, it's, you know, we've always been about our community, and staying oriented to that has really informed my leadership, because I think that is Geisinger's leadership. It's a function of the role we play in our communities to be sort of that health partner and the trusted voice when it comes to interpreting all the things that are going on. And so in many ways, I think my leadership is simply a reflection of what the organization's role and leadership has been. And that's predated me. You know, it's gone on for over 100 years. And that's what makes this place so special and the people so special.
And I want to pick up on something you said, because I think it's so much easier said than done, but that's it's strengthening our comfort level with uncertainty. And if we don't do that or make an effort to do that, we'll be living in a state of chronic stress. How, when it comes to talking to others who might not have the background you do or that comfort level with uncertainty that you've developed over time, what are some helpful things to say or some guidance to provide or beneficial leadership tactics to help others through that and get more comfortable in a state of uncertainty versus that chronic stress environment that's so harmful to our thinking, our health, and so many other elements of our life?
Yeah, and I think it's interesting. I have found, even from before this pandemic, or even for that matter, in areas in my personal life, you know, outside of work, I think early on, I came to recognize or learn, and it's not always easy to learn, and it's not always desirable to learn, but you get thrust into these situations where you realize you don't control everything. And I think that's in many ways, you know, been, you know, how I've kind of stumbled through life, if you will. And I think the sooner, what I found in those circumstances is the sooner I come to realize and get comfortable with the fact that I don't control everything. And there's a lot that's sort of beyond the control. It's interesting how you get the sense of peace because you realize that, that's also the fun of life in many ways, is kind of rolling with the punches and being able to enjoy rather than be stressed out by the twists and turns in the road. I think that's sort of, and I get that that's not, you know, necessarily work related, but sometimes I think coming to that realization sooner ends up leading to being more at peace with what's going on and being able to find ways to make lemonade when you're given lemons. And I think that's a lot of what's been going on here with COVID. You know, obviously it's not a set of circumstances that any of us would want to be in, whether professionally or personally. But at the same time, if you're looking for the silver linings, believe it or not, there are silver linings. And there's a lot of neat things going on and sources of inspiration and encouragement and even transformation and innovation as a result of things like this. And so trying to be positive, trying to look at all those neat things that are going on, those silver linings, I think that's made a lot of this a neat time as well. I mean, it, look, not to downplay the challenges and all of that. I mean, obviously, it's a very significant challenge, and it's also a very significant disease with potentially very serious ramifications. But through all of that, there is a silver lining. You know, telemedicine and how it's taken off and turned into a neat alternative for how to communicate and care for people. That's a really neat thing. How people are now and how businesses are now more flexible around work from home setups. I think that's another really neat thing that's got kind of been catalyzed as a result of these things. How the communities coming together, how different businesses are pulling together and realizing we're all in this together. I think these are all things that really are positive things, and trying to focus on those, I think, helps make it a little bit easier to roll with the punches.
That's a great point. Just how much we're experiencing and learning firsthand that we otherwise never would have. I think that's something that sounds like you're really keeping top of mind for not only you, but your team. You know, speaking of your organization and your teams, I'm curious, you've seen a lot of news coming out of different health systems about postponed capital investments, maybe projects that they are delaying. At the same time, sometimes the elimination of elective surgeries in hospitals might have created an opportune time to fast track some initiatives or efforts while there was lower patient volume. I'm curious how, if at all, Geisinger has delayed or altered any components of your strategic plan right now.
Yeah, I think some of the day-to-day, well, maybe not day-to-day, but some of the strategic plan items are, it just feels like they're on a back burner, and I think that's appropriate for this time. And some of it is just because it's out of cycle with when it tends to happen in the year. Some of it is because of COVID and just all other priorities, obviously. But in a weird twist, I think in many ways, some strategic priority items have been accelerated as a result of this. And, you know, I used the example of telemedicine earlier, but the other really good example is we have our own mail order pharmacy, and we know that when patients use it, great things tend to happen. We know that there's a 37% higher compliance rate or adherence rate on their medications, and that means that diabetics are managing their sugars 37% better. That means people with hypertension are managing their blood pressure 37% better. So all those good things come out of this mail order pharmacy program, and of course, it's super convenient because the meds just come to your doorstep and the refills are sort of automated. And it's a cheaper alternative for patients and members as well, because their copays are typically as low as half of what they would be if they went to an in-person pharmacy. So great program. And we started getting traction on it even last year, but that traction has kicked into a totally different gear, as you can imagine, as a result of COVID. And that's a great illustration of a strategic priority and something that was on our plan that's actually gotten ironically sped up as a result of this, as opposed to slowed down. So we're seeing both. Another great example is we have a program where we bring actual care services into the homes of the sickest 3% of our patient population. And we call this program Geisinger at Home. But we had some great progress on that over the last year, but that program as well, you know, the importance of something like that has been made even more prominent as a result of COVID. And so it served as a nice wind at the backs of some of these efforts that have been strategic priorities at the same time that some of the other strategic priorities may have needed to slow down.
Got it. So it sounds like a few of those efforts that even 8 weeks ago were seen as possibly more supplemental have really become essential to patients in your organization. Can you, I'm just curious what it's like for those employees who are working most closely on those efforts. Have you connected with them at all or heard from their perspective what that's been like for an effort or a project that was previously seen as, like I said, more supplemental to become so absolutely fundamental to operations and patient care and continuation of care?
Yeah, and I think a lot of folks working in those spaces, I mean, they knew that these were programs that we thought needed to grow. And we were already really diligently working to grow these programs because of the impact that we saw it was having on patients and members. And so I think they knew that a lot was coming into their world around potential growth. Of course, you know, folks get excited about that. So I think the engagement of that group was there. And then I don't know that anybody had anticipated some of the pace of these activities and how fast they would grow some of these programs. Certainly the telemedicine team, I mean, we had some activities going on there even prior to COVID, decent programs built, but minuscule compared to what kind of activity is flowing through those programs now. And so I think those programs and the people working in those areas, they've become immensely busy at the same time that we've seen activity levels drop in other areas as a result of, you know, postponing the non-emergent procedures or visits. And that's why the reassignment and ability to reassign our staff from areas of less activity to areas of more activity, that flexibility has really been the fuel to churn these engines of building these programs that have been strategic and always were strategic, and now they've gotten another boost of life to take them to the next level. But I think that reassignment has been the enabler that's driven a lot of that and made it possible to do over a very short period of time.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, the agility there demonstrated by those teams and those people and your whole organization is just incredible and something to be applauded. You know, you mentioned there's a lot of silver linings that we were left with and still encountering and recognizing throughout this pandemic. But I also want to understand what you see as your greatest concern that's come to light. I know this pandemic is not even close to being over, but when it comes down to the weaknesses in the system, and not just specific to Guy's Dinger, but nationwide, when it comes to U.S. healthcare, weaknesses in the system or surprises you encountered, is there anything that you would feel comfortable identifying as your greatest concern throughout all of this?
Yeah, I would point to a couple, and one is at the end of the day, and this isn't a weakness, I think this is probably more of a strength, but at the end of the day, we are functions of our community. We're creatures within our community. And, you know, the same kinds of anxieties or concerns that may dominate the minds of all of us, because there's a lot of information out there and sometimes it can look very bleak. And I think we're going to go through some phases that may look like that. But I think that's especially the time to focus on the science and the data and try to make sure that we're communicating some of those things as opposed to letting the emotion of panic and anxiety set in. And I think that's something that's more of like a human reality. And I think this pandemic has sort of unveiled that in many ways. I think the other around the healthcare industry as a whole, and this is one where we've been frankly lucky at Geisinger, but I think the industry as a whole, the mentality is really not set up and the infrastructure is not set up to tackle prevention. You know, a lot of employees and energy and resources of health systems are geared towards providing the best possible care to folks who are sick and in need. And this gets to the, you've probably heard people talk about sick care, quote unquote, versus health care. And I do think that most of American healthcare is set up in a way that's really that quote unquote sick care, as people have used that term. And prevention and getting upstream on a problem is just not second nature in that kind of infrastructure. I think this is one where, as I referenced earlier, to be honest with you, I feel very, very lucky because Geisinger is one of these places that has long focused on prevention. And maybe partly it's because we've had our own health plan for a number of decades, but we have an infrastructure, a pretty well built out infrastructure that focuses on the health of populations and the health of communities, and a pretty robust team that does outreach to people do for certain services like preventive screening tests or outreaches to people who are diabetic and make sure that, you know, they're not progressing in their disease, or people who have congestive heart failure and so forth. And that machinery, that infrastructure has come in very, very handy in a time of COVID, because what it's allowed us to do is everybody who tests positive, as an example, we're also able to do outreach and monitor their symptoms. If they were well enough to go home, we're able to monitor them in an ongoing way in case they progress to the point that they should really be coming back in for an in-person evaluation. Or we're also able to deploy those population health folks to do contact tracing to figure out who have they been close to over the last 2 weeks that perhaps they may have infected, in which case we have to reach out to them and initiate the testing and the tracing and so forth. And so I think having that machinery is something that I think this pandemic has revealed that it's probably underdeveloped as an industry. And specifically at Geisinger, I think we've come to that same realization, because this is one where we look around and we see that these are some capabilities that we're very fortunate to have, but industry-wide, it doesn't feel like it's as well built out as it perhaps should be.
No, and you hit on something there, because Geisinger, I mean, when it comes to social determinants of health, this is a system that has really been an exemplar in walking the walk in so many ways in terms of addressing those issues for your community, everything from the food pharmacy to the other efforts you just walked us through there. Can you talk a little bit about, as a leader, how you are balancing the need for action in the near term in the face of a pandemic right now? And then also, what are you thinking about and with worsening social determinants of health, given the unemployment numbers we're seeing, social isolation, loneliness? How are you kind of balancing both of those demands in terms of your planning and your thought right now, Dr. Rue?
Yeah, I think you raise a great point. And I think it really is part and parcel of everything that we do here, which is why I think that is, in many ways, our North Star, is trying to manage the total health of a population. And that means all the things that you're talking about. And those programs, if anything, through an event like this, I think the importance of those programs have been underscored even more heavily. And so I don't see those things disappearing anytime soon. In fact, I think we're going to be doubling down on things like prevention, things like primary care, things like moving care into the home, things like the social determinants. I think those are all factors that we know are mission critical for the populations that we serve. And the communities that we serve. And you're absolutely right. The impact of COVID will be far and long reaching as far as, whether it's jobs, the socioeconomics, or the economic vitalization of the community. I think all of those things, what will it do to jobs? What will it do to people in terms of being able to get by day in and day out? These are things that deeply concern us, to be totally honest. And I think that's a lot of the work that still stands to come. As we can get through this crisis immediately, or the immediate crisis before us, I think what we're also thinking about is, well, on the one hand, we have a care model that is well equipped to deal with those kinds of dynamics. But on the other hand, what can we do around jobs? What can we do around bringing businesses back on their feet? And we've gotten out there into the communities to help businesses as they think about reopening segments of society. You know, how do you do that safely, as an example? Because we know that the economic engines of the community are vitally important, but obviously it's also vitally important to make sure that from a public health standpoint, people are safe. And that may mean that they open in very different ways. That may mean that we have to be more aggressive in terms of getting the message out there around what are the right precautions, that we cannot ease off the gas pedal. This isn't the time to be complacent, but rather it's the time to double down. I think those are some of the things we've been doing. And then of course, the longer term, as we emerge from this, I think we'll be working hand in hand with the community partners to figure out what we can do for longer term sustainability in the economy.
Great. Well, Dr. Bayron-Root, this has just been such a pleasure catching up with you and learning more about what Geisinger is facing right now and working on. Before we wrap up, did you have any final comments or thoughts that you wanted to share?
Yeah, you know, I touched on it a little bit earlier. It's very interesting. I think if I took a step back, the interconnected nature of all of this is something that I think is worth calling out. And I referenced it a little bit earlier when I mentioned all these folks in the community and these community organizations coming together to work together, whether it's our local universities helping us with their engineering departments in terms of 3D printing PPE or manufacturing some PPE, or stepping in and partnering with us on creating daycare environments or alternative housing spaces. This kind of interconnected effort, I actually think that's been a really neat positive to come out of all this. And I hope that those are the kind of things that we hope those genies don't go back in the bottle, because I think it's a wonderful way to think about the health of a community in the aggregate. And if you go back to our roots at Geisinger, believe it or not, we were founded back in 1915 during a time of pandemic and crisis. And back then it was called typhoid. And the community rallied together, and the hospital wasn't quite ready to open, but they donated mattresses and allowed the hospital to fight the pandemic. And it was this interconnectedness and being all in it together. And then within 3 years of being open, this place faced the Spanish flu epidemic of 1918. In many ways, it feels like here we are 100 plus years later, and we're being reminded that the interconnectedness of the efforts around the community are exactly what's going to help us battle through this and set us on a course to get to an even better spot from the standpoint of community health. I think that's one of the neat things that I've kind of seen come out of this, and obviously eager to get on that next phase of the journey on the other side of this, but certainly don't want to lose that interconnectedness with the communities that we serve.
Now, what a great point to end on. I mean, looking back through Geisinger's history, what a powerful narrative that is, too, just the what you saw from the community and in that crisis 100 plus years later to today, to have that kind of history to fall back on and point to must be really powerful and helpful for you with your teams. Dr. Root, this has just been an immense pleasure. I'm so thankful for your time today and for you sharing these thoughts with us. It is so great to hear from a forward-looking organization and leader about what's in front of you today and what's to come. So on behalf of Beckers, we wish you our absolute best, and thanks to your teams and your people at Geisinger in Danville, Pennsylvania, and the outlying communities through this difficult time. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity. It was a pleasure.
Thank you very much for listening today. This podcast was brought to you by Beckers Healthcare in conjunction with Intuitive. Intuitive is the global technology leader in minimally invasive care and a pioneer of robotic-assisted surgery.